Welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman, product manager in the Windows Phone team here at Microsoft. I'm joined by Matthias Shapiro. What's your actual title?
I'm Windows Phone Technical Evangelist.
Windows Phone Technical Evangelist.
Yep, developer platform evangelism.
We're your hosts here on Inside Windows Phone, and every week we talk about some key scenario for developers. This week we're going to talk a little bit about location and mapping, because I know that, you know, for me, when I open up any new application, if it leverages maps and location in some compelling way, mm-hmm. I know that that makes me excited, and I actually enjoy that application a little bit more. And so we thought this was a scenario that most folks would want to figure out a little bit more about.
Yeah, knowing where your application is can be key to delivering just the best information, or it's a little more specificity, and you know, it's just fun. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to do with Windows Phone.
So. Right, and we had a lot of improvements in 8 too as well, right?
Yeah. With Windows Phone 7, we had the Bing Map control, and you could take that control and put it in your application and get all of the keys you need to get it working. And we still support that in Windows Phone 8. So if you've got, you know, a lot of code around that, you can bring it forward and build your Windows Phone 8 applications with that. But
we have something better now.
We have something better. We've got Nokia Maps has given us just an enormous amount of information with their mapping data. Mm-hmm. We use it, I think it's driving the Bing Maps on the web now.
Right. And it's actually behind the scenes, I think, now.
Right. And they've brought that forward into Windows Phone. There's a Bing Maps application. You open it up. And that same control that they've got inside of their mapping application.
The Here Maps.
Yep, the Here Maps can go into your application. So
why don't you show us a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, so let's see how easy it is to bring mapping and geolocation to your application.
So what are we looking at here?
This is basically an empty app. I've pulled it up in Blend.
This isn't Visual Studio. I'm all confused. Right. What are you showing me, Matthias?
Yeah, I like to look at my application UI. I came to development as a UI designer, and so I like to start with, what am I looking at? What does my app look like?
This explains a lot. I finally understand you a little better.
So this is an empty application. There are two little pieces of text in here.
And Blend is, you know, this tool that we ship for free with the SDK.
Yep. Comes with, when you install Visual Studio, Blend gets installed too.
Right. So you get this tool, and it's actually, it has a lot of the same features of Visual Studio, but it's much, mm-hmm. much more focused on the design experience, right?
Right. Yeah. I use it to do a lot of drag and drop interface development. And
okay.
So if we open up Blend, and we go over here, and I've already done it, but if we type map, we see we got our map control right in there.
Right.
And we can just either double click it or drag and drop it, and that's a map. It's ready to go. It's ready to use. Now we've got it filling the screen, and if we go down, we can see kind of some of the options that we have. We can preset our map so that when we load it up, it's in road mode or aerial mode or hybrid terrain. We can pre-center our map. Give it color, you know, set the color to light or dark, do enable the landmarks, we can enable pedestrian features, all the things that we would want our map to do, we can
yep.
make sure that our map control is preset to have that all working.
And these are all properties that are exposed to you as a developer too, right?
Right, yeah, so you can change them on the fly in the background. But so let's, right now, I don't know why the center is exactly that spot, it's probably in Seattle, but so we've got our map in here. If we load up the application, we're just going to see a map.
Now, this is interesting what you did here. You moved over to the exact same project in Visual Studio, and
yep.
these two tools are designed to work together
right.
on the same set of files, and you got a prompt that said, hey, this file got changed, right?
Yeah, and actually, if I go over here and I call this something like my map control,
mm-hmm.
I hit enter, and I save it, I go back over to Visual Studio, and it says, oh, wait. One of your files changed.
Yep.
So we can update, and it's the same thing. If we change a file in Visual Studio, Blend is going to ask us, hey, what did you change and why did you change it?
And you can go back real easily from the Solution Explorer too, right, by saying open
yep.
in Blend, I think?
Yep. Yeah. If we go here, we can just open this project in
Fantastic.
Blend. Fantastic. Yeah. So let's hit F5 just so we can see what our control looks like at the moment.
Yep. This is live. Don't try
right.
this at home.
Right.
Oh,
really,
not
what
quite.
What is
Spoke
my problem
too soon.
Here?
XAML parse exception. Oh, so do you have the right permissions in the...
Oh, I may not. So...
This is an important thing to know when you're building a map application, if this is
okay.
actually the problem. Go to the capabilities.
Yep. So we go over to capabilities.
It's not! And look at that.
So
every map developer hits this one.
Yeah, this is something I should have been prepared for, certainly. But you'll see this demonstration.
You'll
see this every time. Yeah, yeah. So by default, your project doesn't have location or map.
You don't have the permission to use these capabilities.
Yep. And so what we're doing is we're flagging these capabilities and so that this will get compiled. When it goes in the store, they'll mm-hmm. run a set of tests against our application, make sure that we've got mapping working appropriately,
right.
that we have the appropriate permissions for location. One thing we do is you can't slide an application in under your user's nose.
That's right. That has a capability that they don't know about.
Right.
And so that's exactly what's going on here, right? And in fact, you should always, as a developer, be removing the capabilities your app doesn't use.
Yeah,
before you submit it.
It'll make the submission process a lot easier because we run fewer tests against your application. So we're using map. The map capability means that we can use the map control. Mm-hmm. The location capability means that we can actually use the GPS to find the user's location because we don't, sometimes we want to use location but not our map.
That's right. You don't want your location data being sent somewhere without you knowing about it.
Exactly.
And so knowing that an application leverages location and giving it explicit permission is a really critical component of the security of the phone all up and the privacy of the user.
Yep. So
let's see if we compile now.
Yeah, this should work now.
Yep. Deploy.
Okay.
Works.
And there's the map. We just drag and drop, add the capabilities.
There it is. Yep.
And there we are.
And this actually works much faster on the phone itself because when you're in the emulator, you're going through this Hyper-V networking solution that tends to have a performance impact on the perceived performance of the phone. So when you're testing the performance of your application, it is very important to have an actual physical device.
It is, yeah, that is especially in terms of geolocation and
oh, but what mapping. Do we do in the emulator to help you with that?
So if you are using the emulator, we have a great set of tools built around location. So I've just opened up our tool section. I go to location.
We haven't added the location functionality yet to the
Right. So we'll come back to this in just a second so that we can see the updates. But we can update our location.
And you can also search for something up there in the upper left if you wanted to go to Paris or somewhere else.
Paris. Yeah, you're going to watch me misspell
there
Paris. There we go. Okay.
Set your locations wherever you want.
Yeah. So, yeah, what I'm doing right now is every time I click on the map, mm-hmm. this is actually updating and sends the information to...
Your phone thinks it's where you click on the map.
Exactly. So
your emulator, I mean.
So let's actually update the application so that when the phone is in a new place, it does something.
I'd love people to see how easy it is to add the location capability to your application.
Yep. So the first thing we do is we create this geolocator object.
Now let's talk about this for just 1 second, though, because it's really important to note your phone has a GPS.
Mm-hmm.
That's a radio that can talk to the satellite and determine the location of the phone.
Right.
It also can determine a phone its actual location with a couple of other mechanisms.
Right.
Like using the cell tower ID information of the cell towers it's connected to, or the access ID of a Wi-Fi access point that it's connected to.
Yeah, we take all those things. They're not separated out. They're all one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it pulls it all together and then...
into one location API.
Exactly.
Right? We have one parental location API. And, the cell ID and the Wi-Fi access ID, those actually have to hit the web to go against a database that stores information about what actual latitude and longitude correlate to those... Yep. items. So there's a different level of accuracy amongst all three, different level of performance among all three.
Right.
And the key thing to note here is you as a developer don't have to think about any of this because you simply call the location ID and say, give me my location by whatever the best mechanism is.
Yep. And we'll actually see in just a second how we can use that and how we utilize it. So we create our little geolocator. And then I'm going to uncomment this.
Right, so you've wired up an event handler there for getting the current location.
Yep.
The geolocator, this is the class you call. This is the new WinRT class that you call in order to call the location API.
Yep. So we go to our geolocator and we say, okay, I want this level of accuracy. And depending on the level of accuracy, that's exactly the performance hit. It's, higher level of accuracy may take longer to get our location, a lower level of accuracy, and we can get it faster and...
Important tip, You want to cache this information in storage somehow.
Yep.
Because when your app launches up, you don't want to have to take this performance hit every single time.
Yep.
You want to have something cached that you can go against to just actually paint the page really quick, and then go and check and see if that cache is really old and what have you. And
But our geolocator is also going to cache this too. So
right.
If we have a cached location, and this is I find this really, really, really exciting. I can give it a maximum age. Yeah, I can get a maximum age. So, you know, if I'm, let's say I've got an application and I just want to, I want to go out shopping or something. And so it's not important that it knows where I am every 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
If I've been here, you know, where I've been in the last 10 minutes is going to be good enough for me. And so we can take that cache location and say, you know, just look at where we've been recently.
The cache becomes essentially another source of information where it can potentially pull the location mm-hmm. to give you better performance, potentially worse accuracy.
Yep.
So it's another one of those trade-off things that you need to keep in mind.
Yep. And then we have a timeout where we can say, you know, if you're looking for our timeout basically says, okay, do the best you can, find the best accuracy you can. Within this cached time,
right.
But if it takes longer than this amount of time, this timeout, just give me the best answer you've got.
Right.
So it gives you a lot of control over the details of how your geolocator is gonna work.
And so the name of this geolocator is this the geoposition or where's the...
This is the geolocator that we created.
Yep. Then what's going on with geoposition here?
So the geoposition.
That's a different type of object, isn't it?
Yep, that is just the just what we get back out of our geolocator.
Okay.
And so we've created our geolocator. We've given a couple parameters.
Okay, I got it.
And now we say, get the position, and we just say get the position async. It fires that
it's
off.
Asynchronous call. You don't want to block your UI here.
Yep. And then we just wait for it to come back, and it comes back as a geoposition and. Our geoposition has an address, a coordinate, and the coordinate has accuracy, altitude, heading, longitude, latitude, satellite
heading,
data.
That sounds like compass information to me.
Right. There's a lot of great data in here. You can build really powerful applications around this geoposition model. But what we need is actually a geo-coordinate because that's what our map is going to consume.
Now, geo-coordinate, that is the old style of our mm-hmm. location API, isn't it?
Yep.
That's a little bit sad.
Well, but it's important because this means that if we're using Bing Maps,
mm-hmm.
we can still use the same geolocation data, and we can take that geocoordinate, we can move into Bing Maps.
Because it's just not that hard to go back and forth, is
right,
it? I mean,
right.
Both objects have latitude and longitude. Those concepts aren't different.
Yep.
So you can actually just plug the latitude and longitude in from your geoposition.
Yep. And
then your geocoordinate.
What we're going to do is we're going to my map. Control. Get that right.
Case sensitivity.
I know. And we're gonna just center our map around that. Give it a zoom level.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna
fire that off.
Fire that off. Open up the emulator. You see the last place we were.
Spot point 8 there. And the reason these points make sense that you can do multiple points mm-hmm. is if you're trying to debug some sort of navigation program, right?
Yep. Yep.
And you don't. Otherwise, you'd have to get in the car.
Yeah, you know, and walk around the hat. Yeah, walk around the block.
Have the laptop on your lap while you're driving.
Right. Check
you
it
know,
out.
Hit F5.
Yeah.
We can show
how the updated data updates in the application
uh-huh.
if we tell our geolocator to start listening for some updates. So how do we get our geolocator to listen for updates?
You wire an event.
We say whenever the position changes, do something about it.
Yep.
And so we can just go and grab this center code. We're going to have to create a new geo-coordinate. And then update our map with that code. So
yep.
Let's grab our args dot position. And that's the geo-position. And coordinate. There we go. And that's all we do. And now whenever we update our location, or whenever the phone moves,
mm-hmm.
And
you've got in the error message there, it talks about you need to have, before adding event handlers, do you see that?
Oh.
Yeah, actually, this is a case where reading the output helps. WinRT information, you must set movement threshold property or property before adding event handlers.
Okay, so.
And you add an event handler.
Shame on me.
Before you set those things. I think that you need to read the output there sometimes.
Shame on me.
That's okay, but this is a great example for you guys out there.
Okay. Try it again.
All right.
Open it up. Oh.
Another.
Oh, right. Okay.
One more.
And there we go. Okay. So now our update is live. Authorized access. Oh.
One more.
Come on. So this is the dispatcher problem.
Oh, okay.
This is actually good news for us because what this means is that when the information comes back, it actually comes back on a background thread.
So you have to wire those together.
Right, so we have to make sure that we have access to our UI thread. And that's great news for us. That means we can run this in the background. We can run updates in the background. Mm-hmm. But we do need to move to our UI thread.
Wow. And then it's your breakpoint.
Okay.
Looks like we're good to go here. And that's not the emulator. And now hit play.
And... play.
And then the map's moving.
Yep.
With our movement. Some of them are too small. There we go.
And so, yep, now our map is updating as the map moves along. So it's cool. And you can actually save recorded data and mm-hmm. load it up, and that's what I'm gonna do here. I actually have a campus run where I have 99 spots around Microsoft. You can take your application on a little run around Microsoft.
Why don't you try firing that one off?
Okay.
Just hit play, yeah?
Yeah.
And again, some of the performance issues with regard to the emulator here, and you got to zoom in the emulator. This is the beauty of a touchscreen laptop, folks.
Yeah.
Is that we didn't set the zoom level there, but...
So we're running around Microsoft. We're actually going really, really fast here, but...
We are. It's not repainting till it hits the edges.
Yep.
But this is fantastic. So, wow, what did I see today?
Right.
So much. And some very instructive instructive coding problems there, I think, as well.
No, it's a great control. It's a great way of developing location data. And one of the fun things about this is that there's actually a lot of little tiny things. If you've ever done a lot of location and mapping, mm-hmm. We've got a lot of fun little things. Yeah, I'm going to pull
downloading
those up.
Offline maps.
We got downloading offline maps.
Because there's one single download store for maps using the here maps control.
Yep.
And as a result, if you've downloaded maps, now we're looking at a real phone here. This is USB video.
Nokia 920. What we're going to do, I love this demo because there are so many little things that the Windows Phone location APIs and mapping gives you. So, for example, distance between two geo-coordinates.
Right.
Now, if you wanted to look up how to do distance between geo-coordinates,
mm-hmm.
it's actually, there's a couple of different algorithms that you can use, and you've got to take account for the curvature of the Earth and, mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff.
Sure.
With our system, all you do is you say, I have one geo-coordinate. Find the distance between this and another geo-coordinate, and what you can see up there at the top,
yeah.
You can see
you're doing an overlay, a really attractive little overlay.
Yep, and it's just
telling
you
real time.
Great little
real time telling you the difference in the distance between the two points.
Yep, and if we looked at the code for that, the only thing we're doing here, there's one little thing we're doing in here, and that is, let's see here, dang it. I should have opened this up to find the code first, huh?
That's okay.
Geo coordinate. Come on. Okay, so here it is. Right here.
Get the distance.
What's our geo coordinate? Get the distance to another geo coordinate.
Yep.
That's all it does.
And
it does one line
of code.
Yep, one line of code. It gives us a distance in meters. We can do things. I find this to be particularly fun. Oh, right, back to the. I find this one to be particularly fun. we've built reverse geocoding in there.
Built in?
Yep, just built in. So if we want to go to, let's say, San Francisco.
This is normally kind of an annoying thing to have to do.
Right, sometimes you know, what you might have to do is you have to download or hit a service and say, I'm here, can you give me an address for that? But here, all we do is we tap. And okay, there's Valencia Street, San Francisco.
Is that then in my geo-coordinate object? Or?
You get back a reverse geo-coordinate object, and you can query it. You can ask, okay, what country am I in? What's my zip code? What's my state? What's my city?
Wow.
All that kind of thing. And so, you know, fun thing about this, you can just tap your phone could tell you, you're in this country now. You're in this state now. You've just crossed the threshold into this city. And so that's something that works. It works online. It works offline.
Wow.
It hits no service, and so you always have it available.
And you can also, within the context of your application, prompt the user to download the map as well, because we have a launcher that takes you to that correct page, right?
Yep.
So if they haven't downloaded it previously, you can actually give them that prompt.
Yep. So we've got the ability to, if we just hit that, it sends us out, and
this is, you've launched into this experience where you can download maps.
Yep, and so I can choose maps from across the entire world. Mm-hmm. We could, if we have enough space on our phone, I think it takes like 8 or 9 gigabytes to download every map that's available, but you can download specific countries or specific states.
That's fantastic. You know, the thing I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention with regard to location maps is that we did add background location in Windows Phone 8 also, so it's very easy to enable your application to continue to run in the background, because we know that if you are being navigated somewhere, you don't want a phone call to interrupt that, or if you turn your phone off and put it in your pocket, you still want to get navigation prompts. So if you're doing something, either through sound or voice or what have you, it's very, very easy to wire that up so that you get background location processing.
Yep, yep. And so, I'm just going to open up the last demo here.
Last one.
The fun thing about all of these demos is, I mean, the offline maps is just an amazing feature because I download it. Maybe it's the state I live in. And not only I've got my reverse geocode works online or offline. I've got my maps works online or offline. Mm-hmm. But if I've downloaded the map, I can create routes. And those, if I have my map downloaded,
it's
those
a simple,
work,
just a simple API call. To
those work online and offline.
Wow.
And so if I select two of these locations, it's going to...
Walking or driving.
Yep. Well, oh, that's right. I can't. It's going to crash on this because I can't walk across that bridge.
All right.
We should open up. Yep, it's working. Unable to. I couldn't find a walkable route. Okay,
well, that wasn't a crash. That was.
There we go. So it's. I actually swapped myself over to driving directions between those two places. But this creates this route. We can map the route easily. The code for this is basically 3 lines of code, where every time I try to create a new route, it says, "Okay, I'm going to find a route between point A, point B, or point C." You see, I've got 3 locations here now that I'm creating routes for. And it hands me back something that not only gives me all the directions, it gives me all the headings in plain English, or actually this works in multiple languages.
Okay.
So you get multiple languages, multiple routes, walking or driving, and everything is just kind of right there. So you could, in a couple of days, you could write your own directions application using just the APIs that we give you.
Or if you wanted to add the capability to have directions in another type of application, then that makes it a very easy ancillary scenario to add. So why don't we wrap it all up here? What did we see?
So we saw how easy it was to create a map, to create our location. We saw some of the pitfalls in doing that, making sure that we have the right capabilities. We saw some of the great things we get for free in Windows Phone when we're trying to build our location applications. But the one thing that we need to keep in mind at the very end, so that people don't get frustrated, is when you're submitting your application, there's one last thing you have to do there.
Okay. That's right.
So submit our application, we go into the application submission, do all of our updating and our add of all of our info. And the last thing is we have this map services.
Now, you have to get an official token.
We have to get an official token for our map. And the reason we have to do this is this used to be something we had to manage entirely ourselves. You had to go to the Bing website, mm-hmm. and you had to register for a Bing token, and you had to manage all of that
yourself.
It was
really hard to find, if I recall correctly.
It was a different structure. Right?
You used to get a watermark across every map, mm-hmm. until you did this that, yep. said "Do not ship" or, yep. something.
But now it's baked right into the app submission process. So then we just go into our map services, and it gives us a service application ID authentication, puts it right into our application. We're ready to go.
Well, I know that I want to go build an application that leverages maps now, and I hope that you do too.
Yep.
And that's all for today.
Yeah.
We'll see you again next time on Inside Windows Phone.